We want to thank you today for joining us at Truth Chapel's podcast. I pray this word would bring you life. I pray that it would edify you, encourage you, and enlighten you. If you have a moment, please subscribe and leave us a review. We will be so grateful. God bless, and let this word speak to your heart.
Exodus 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's word, that would be appropriate. Exodus chapter 12, I'm going to begin in verse 1. If you have it, just shout, I got it. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto the house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, or from the goats. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood, strike it on the two sides post and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. For a few moments this morning, I would like to preach unto you, too little for the Lamb. Too little for the Lamb. Can we pray together? Lord, we love you, and we are thankful for your power. We are thankful for your spirit that is in this room today. I ask you that you would speak to us through your word, that you would grow us, you would mature us, you would challenge us, you would change us through your word. And I pray that we would not only be hearers of the word today, but we would be doers of the word also. And we will be so careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the house. And with the church, lift your voice and shout in Jesus' name. Shout it again in Jesus' name. And you may be seated in the house. Thank you for standing with us for the reading of God's word. Too little for the Lamb. The story of Passover does not begin at Calvary. Jesus dying on the cross, we know, was the Passover weekend, and Jesus became that Passover lamb. We understand this, but we have to really understand Passover, we have to go back to where Passover began, to where it all started. And it started in Egypt, and it was probably a curious setting, and it probably was a little bit, the people were probably a little bit taken back when Moses and Aaron approached them, the assembly, and told them, every man, every family will take a lamb on the 10th day of this month, and you will bring the lamb in the house with you. It must be a lamb of 1 year old. It cannot be without, it can be without spot. It must be without blemish. It must be without handicap. It cannot have anything wrong with it. And I wonder what probably filled their thoughts as they were considering what they would do, where they would go, how they would get this lamb. There probably were preparations made, going through pens, searching through the lamb, searching through the goats to find this perfect lamb. It must be perfect. You would separate it. You would separate it by bringing it into your house. And after the lamb had been in your house for 4 days, on the fourth day, you would kill the lamb. And as the blood would flow from the lamb, you would carefully catch it. into a basin, and you would take hyssop branches, and you would apply this blood, paint the blood on the door. You would paint it on the sides, and you would paint it over the top, because this was a promise to the people that this night the death angel will pass over Egypt. And the death angel doesn't care if you're a Hebrew or an Egyptian. It's not looking at the person. The death angel is only looking at the blood. When it sees the blood, it will pass over you. But if it does not see the blood, the firstborn of the house will die. And the angel did not inspect the people. It only inspected the blood. The promise was that if the blood had been applied, the destroyer would pass over. This is how we get the word Passover. Because if you had the blood applied, the angel would pass over your house and would not visit you with the pain of death, no damage and no loss. But even in the book of Exodus, everyone was affected by sin, because sin doesn't care if you are Egyptian or Hebrew, black, white, old, young, red, yellow, green. It doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter your ethnicity. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. They had no idea, no concept of what true sin was, because they did not yet have the law that would be given to them months later. But they needed to understand that there was a remedy to being free. There was a process to deliverance, and that process included the blood of a lamb. We know that in the garden, God covered Adam and Eve with the skin of a lamb. And so there had to be a lamb that died in the garden. Moses would teach this in his later writings of the book of Genesis. And it was a way for them to cover themselves. It was a way for them to cover the sin and cover the shame, but it did not remove the sin. It did not remove the shame. It just covered it. The pushing past the sin by the obvious offender in Adam, taking a lamb, God sacrificed it before his eyes to cover the nakedness and to cover how they felt. They had not felt this way until sin entered the picture, bringing it to a whole new world of feelings and realities. They would face sickness. They would face suffering. They would face shame, hardship, hunger, and harm, things that they had never yet before seen in the garden. But because sin had entered, now they are dealing with all of this. So it became a custom, beginning with Adam and his sons. There became a custom of sacrifice-based principle that innocent blood would have to be shed to cover the blood of the guilty. Without the blood, there is no pushing back of sin. And without the blood, there is no payment for sin. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 would tell us, and almost all sin, all things are covered by the law, purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. From the very beginning, Satan's sinister plan, his plot to touch God's anointed by tempting his most favored and precious creation, this offense was overcome by the quality of the sacrifice. It was never the quantity of the sin, it was the quality of the sacrifice. When a family would bring the lamb to the priest, the priest would not examine the family, the priest would examine the lamb. When a man brought into the tabernacle his sacrificial lamb, the priest would not ask the man, where you been, what you done, who'd you do it with, what was their name, give me a time, place, and location. There was no inspection of the person. There was only an inspection of the lamb. Would you take a moment today and consider the Lamb? Don't consider your past. Don't consider your failure. Don't consider your shortcomings. Would you take a moment today and behold the Lamb of God, without sin, without shame, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle? God gave us a perfect Lamb that had no. Don't examine me today. Examine the Lamb. Don't examine the church today. Examine the Lamb. Don't examine your neighbor today. Examine the Lamb. Don't examine those that have hurt you and those that have offended you and those that have wounded you. It's not the quantity of the sin. It is the quality of the sacrifice. Hey. If the sacrifice was acceptable, the sin would be pushed back. The sin would be pushed back. The priest never examined the sinner. He examined the sacrifice. He never questioned the nature of the sin. He never questioned the nature of the sinner. Never once did he ask a question of how, when, how far, where did you go, how deep did you fall. There was no speculation for the sinner, only a scrutiny over the sacrifice. Why would this be, you might ask? Why would the sin of the guilty fall on the shoulders of an innocent? I'll tell you today that every Lamb of Israel's sacrifice was only a foreshadowing of what was to come. From the first animal in Eden to the many animals in Egypt, it was all pointing ahead, drawing attention to a day. Oh, that great day. We call it Good Friday, when the Lamb was slain for our sin. There would be a sacrifice that would end all sacrifices, a sacrifice that would cover the sin of mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him, don't believe in me, don't believe in this church, but believe in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. David would speak about him. He said, they pierced my hands and they pierced my feet and they cast lots for my garment in Psalms 22. Isaiah told us he would be despised and rejected, acquainted with grief, without our esteem. He would bear our grief and carry our sorrows, but he would be stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace would be upon him. There's healing in his stripes. There's healing in his wings. We, like sheep, would turn away from him, but he would take our iniquity upon himself. Not just one of us, not just some of us, but all of us. He would be oppressed, he would be afflicted like a lamb led to the slaughter, but he opened not his mouth. Not just the blood of any lamb, but the blood of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, slain from the foundation of the Lord, of the world. John would call him when John saw him walking to that river with him on that day. John would say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Yeah. The writer of Hebrews would state in 9 and 26 that he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And there is a sacrifice on the way to salvation. There is no salvation without sacrifice. And that blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. You see, I'm from the old church where we used to sing about the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus, of the Lamb. Said there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Yeah. We used to sing about that blood because we know what the blood did for us. In the garden, it was a lamb for a man. In Egypt, it was a lamb for a family. In Israel, it was a lamb for a nation. But when Jesus came, the blood of the Lamb was for the whole world. for you, for your sons, for your daughters. The promise is unto you and unto those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Why? Because his blood is still enough. We may not grasp the gravity of this moment, but he not only died for those who were alive at the time, but he died for everyone who ever lived. He died for the sins of Adam in the garden, and he died for the sins of the thieves on the cross, and he died for the sins that you committed yesterday and this morning on your way here. And his blood is still enough today. Why? Because he is risen. The one that bled ain't dead. A dead body. I said the one that bled ain't dead. He's alive. His blood has power because he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Hey. Woo. We have not been redeemed by corruptible things. That's what 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 through 20 would tell us. We have not been redeemed by corruptible things. Your job didn't redeem you. Your money didn't redeem you. Oh. Your success can't redeem you. Your mama, your daddy can't redeem you. You were not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these times to you. His sacrifice wasn't just to cover sin, but it was to overturn the outcome of sin. His sin remitted, his blood remitted the sin or repealed the sin. It's been overturned, not pushed back. It's been overturned. The wages of sin is death, but the blood of Jesus brought life. You see, every other sacrifice only pushed the sin back. It covered the sin. It hid the sin. That Ark of the Covenant, when the blood was sprinkled on it, when God would look down in between the wings of the angels. That's why they called it the mercy seat. Because when he would come and sit, as long as there was blood, he could not see into that. Do you know what was in there? What was in there was the broken commandments. What was in there was that pot of manna because they didn't believe God could provide. What was in there was Aaron's rod that budded because they did not believe in God's leadership. And when God would look down to condemn them, the blood would cover it. But when Jesus came, his blood didn't cover. His blood made it disappear. What do you mean? I mean, you can't find it. Stop bringing up my mess. I laid it at the foot of the cross, and he forgot it. He forgives and forgets. My God, I wish we could sing that song one more time. My Father, my friend, who forgives and forgets. You forgive me, but you cannot forget me. But he forgave me, and he forgets. He overturned it. I know what the judge said, but he overturned it. I know what my sin said, but he overturned it. I know what my past says, but he overturned it. Anybody got a, he turned it down. Anybody got a testimony in the room that he turned it? I know what I used to be, but he turned it. I know what I used to do, but he turned it. I know where I used to go, but he turned it. He turned it. Man, I got to get to my message. Hold up. I want to draw your attention back very, very quickly to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3 and 4. Here's what God would say to Moses and Abraham to articulate to the people of God. He said, if a household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor come together according to the souls that be in the house. If the house be too little for the lamb, if you get this is too much lamb for this house, this house is too little for the lamb. Oh, hallelujah. If you get the lamb in your house and you realize this is too much lamb for me, then you need to go get a neighbor and share the lamb you got. Can I tell you that your house is too little for the lamb? Oh, this house is too little for the lamb. We got to go tell somebody about the lamb, because this is too little for the lamb. Your house is too little for the lamb. Your ministry is too little for the lamb. Your calling is too little for the lamb. You got to go get somebody, share with somebody about the lamb that was slain for their life. But I also want to draw your attention to this, that the Bible doesn't talk about that there was a house that was too big for the lamb. They say if you got a house too big for the lamb, because every house is too little for the lamb. And I know that we came here today, many of us, with dilemma and despair. Many of us walked into this room today with struggles and circumstances. And we didn't walk in all together, but we walked in broken pieces. If I could see you like a puzzle today, you would look undone and unput together. I don't know if anyone in this room has ever felt like your problems are bigger than your program. And I don't know if you've ever felt like the devil's wreaking havoc on your health and your marriage and your life and your mind. And you got maybe you got a little too much month for your money. And maybe you got a little too much reality in your relationship. And maybe you came in here today with empty hands and empty hearts. But let me tell you about people that show up with empty baskets. They leave with basket fulls. I want to speak to somebody in this room today, and I want to tell you, if you brought emptiness today, that's great, because I know that there's somebody that wants to feel it today, and it is too little for the lamb. You say, I don't know if God can fill me up. Let me tell you, baby, your problem is too little for the lamb. Your dilemma is too little for the lamb. Your disease is too little for the lamb. That cancer in your body is too little for the lamb. That brokenness in your mind is too little for the lamb. That darkness in your spirit is too little for the lamb. That problem you're going through is too little for the lamb. That issue you're facing is too little for, my God, it's bigger than all of your problems, bigger than all of your needs. He's bigger than any mountain you can or cannot see. Your life is too little for the lamb. I know you think your issue is big, but not to the lamb. I know you think your sickness is big, but not to the lamb. I know you think your problem is big, but not to the lamb. When you compare the lamb to your problem, it's too little for the lamb. When you compare the lamb to your issue, it's too little for the lamb. When you compare the lamb to what's going on in your life, it's too little for the lamb. There ain't nothing he can't solve. There ain't a mountain too high. There ain't a valley too low. There ain't a river too wide. There ain't a problem he can't fix. They're in a disease he can't heal, because he's the God who never makes a promise that he don't keep. He ain't never lost a battle, and he never will. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Can I just preach to somebody for a few more minutes right here? I feel the Holy Ghost. You got to know that everything you're facing is too little for the lamb. The lamb can help it. The lamb can fix it. The lamb can fill it. There's a brokenness in your heart, and I know the lamb can fill it. There's a hole in your soul, and I know the lamb can fill it. It's too little for the lamb. I can hardly see your problem under the size of his sacrifice. I can't even see you in the shadow of the sacrifice. When you get the sacrifice between you and the problem, you're not going to see your problem no more, because the sacrifice will outshadow the issue. Jesus told him first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then into the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? Because Jerusalem was too little for the lamb. He said, the promise is unto you and is unto your children. and those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Why? Because you are too little for the Lamb. It's going to keep on growing. This building, Truth Chapel, is too little for the Lamb. It's just going to keep going and going and going and going. It's too little for the Lamb. It's too little for the promise. It's too little for the sacrifice. You may think that you can handle it. But the Bible tells us that each man must eat according to his appetite. Yeah, appetite. Eat according to your appetite. That's what he would tell them in chapter 12 of Exodus in verse 3 and 4. He said, each man according to his eating. Each man according to his eating. What's your appetite today? Because God is the only thing that can fill you. Oh. If money could fill you, rich folk wouldn't be depressed. If having a promiscuous relationship could fill you, you'd only have one. Oh. If drinking alcohol could fill you, they'd shut down the ABC store today. Never open again because everybody's full. If drugs could fill you, there wouldn't be no such thing as a drug lord. If those pills could fill you, you wouldn't go get another prescription filled. They can't fill you. Your house is too big for that mess, but too little for the Lamb. The only thing that can fill you is the love of Jesus Christ. The only thing that can hold you is the saving power of the Lamb of God. The only thing that's ever going to fill you up and satisfy your soul is the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Because when you get filled, something's going to happen on the inside of you that you ain't never had before. Drugs can't do it. Alcohol can't do it. Can I tell you, even religion can't do it. You can call on Buddha, but he ain't coming. You can call on Muhammad, but he ain't gonna be coming. You can call on Hare Krishna, but he ain't coming. But when you call on Jesus, he'll show up and he'll fill the room. That stuff can't fill you. Only Jesus can fill you. Only Jesus can heal you. Only Jesus can renew you. Only Jesus can bring you in, bring you out, bring you up, and bring you through. Yeah. Only Jesus. Yeah. I said, I don't know about y'all. Y'all Jesus only. I said, no, we only Jesus. Because only Jesus could have brought me out of what I was in. Only Jesus could have saved my soul. Only Jesus could have picked me up, turned me around, set my feet on solid. Only Jesus. Hey, you ought to try him. Listen, this Lamb is too much for my house. You ought to try him. You ought to try him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey, you ought to try him for yourself. Try him for your family. Try him for your marriage. Jesus is still the answer for the world today. Hallelujah. And I feel good in the house. I'm almost finished. Here's how God will tell Aaron and Moses to tell the people, this is not only do you eat it, but he will give them instruction on how to eat it. He said, here's how you eat it. You roast it. Don't boil it. Don't boil it. Roast it. Ain't no sous vide we have in the barbecue. Roast it. Roast it and eat it. And while you're eating it, this little detail that he'll put in the scripture, he said, while you're eating it, eat it with your loins girded. That means that they would reach under and take the back half of their robe, pull it up to the front and tuck it in their sash. And this would give them a pair of shorts. Shorts that I know some of y'all don't get mad. Shorts in the Bible. Give them a little pair of running shorts so they can move freely. Because not only do you eat it with your loins girded, but you also eat it with your shoes on. Now, you got to understand what Jewish houses are like. You know, they don't eat like this. They eat, you know, sitting around a table, probably shoes off, sitting Indian style. Indians in the New Testament, you know. Sitting around eating. They don't eat like this. He said, not only eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet, but with your staff in your hand. Why? Why? We don't eat like this. Why? We get comfortable. When you eat in your house, you get comfortable. The only time you would eat like that in your house is after you ate, you had to go somewhere. And you was eating it in haste. Because you was about to move. Yes, yes. And God was telling them, when you eat it, don't eat it in your pajamas. Right. Don't eat it barefooted. But eat it with your running suit on. Eat it with your Nikes laced up. And eat it with all your stuff ready to go. Because when the blood is on the door and the lamb is in your belly, I got the blood on the outside and the lamb on the inside. We got to go to the water. Because if you repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I got the blood on my door, the lamb in my belly, and we're headed to the water because I already been to the water and I already been baptized. You know I already been converted and I feel all right. Because when you eat the lamb, something's gonna move. When you eat the lamb, when you apply the blood of the lamb to your life and you have the lamb in your belly, we are going somewhere. We are moving somewhere. We gotta go. Why? Because this house is too little for the lamb that's on the inside of me. There's a Canaan lamb that I gotta get to, and the lamb is pulling me to my promise. You not hear what I'm telling you right now? The lamb is pulling me to my promise. When I got the lamb on the inside of me, it's pulling me to, I can't stay here any longer. I gotta go somewhere. Am I preaching to anybody that got the lamb on the inside and the lamb is pulling you to your promise? Baby, get your kids. Baby, get your stuff. We on the way somewhere. It's taking me somewhere. The lamb ain't gonna let me stay here because the house is too little for the lamb. Hey, remain standing. I'm closing. Just remain standing. Where you are is too little for the lamb. The lamb will pull you into promise. The lamb will force you into promise. Many theologians believe, and even the scripture will imply, through these first couple chapters of the deliverance of the children of Israel, that the lamb and the unleavened bread that they ate on the night of Passover was enough to get them to Canaan land. That if they ate the Passover lamb that night, they would have no need to eat again until they got to where the land flowed with milk and honey. Most scholars believe, because of the implication of the scripture, that this was supposed to be the supernatural meal of Elijah. That when God fed him meat and bread, he went on the power of that food 40 days and 40 nights. And it was exactly a 40-day trip by foot from where they were to where God was calling them. And there was supposed to be a supernatural sustaining of the lamb. The lamb was supposed to sustain them from this to the promise. But because they got their eyes off the prize, and because they started focusing on things around them, and they did not focus on what they had, but they focused on what they lacked. that they begin to complain. The Bible will even make an implication that they were not even hungry. They just saw they had no food. They weren't hungry. Their bellies weren't growling. But when they realized they had no food, now they started focusing on the lack and not the feeling. They started looking around them saying, why didn't we bring food? Not even paying attention that they weren't hungry. They wanted to eat with their eyes. Because they did not see food, they told themselves the lamb isn't enough. Can I tell you that the lamb is enough to get you from this place to the promise? You have been through the waters of deliverance, but there's a journey you got to go on. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And Peter continued to speak with many words, saying, now save yourself from this untoward generation. There's a journey after the lamb. There's a place that I got to get to from here to there. And the lamb is enough. The lamb is this place that I'm in. But the queue is too little for the lamb. The lamb has a destination for me. And my current position is too little for the lamb. The lamb's pulling me to promise. And where I am is too little for the lamb. The lamb is pulling me into greatness. And where I'm at is too little for the lamb. The lamb has so much in store for you today. But today we don't have to cook nothing. I mean, some of y'all gonna cook. If you cook something good, let me know. But I doubt today any one of us is gonna eat lamb. Some of y'all might eat lamb. Some curry goat, if you make that, definitely give me a call. But today is not about what we make or what we provide. No, no, no. You see, in their time, they had to go find the lamb, had to go out, had to look through, had to search, find the perfect. Today, look no further than the cross of Calvary and the empty tomb with the stone that is rolled away where his body used to lay. He's not there. He's not among the dead. He's among the living. And you don't have to look for the lamb today. This in reverse now. The lamb's looking for you. And he's saying, whose house can I attend today? Whose heart could I come into today? Whose life could I change today? Whose place do I see? Oh, that place is too little for you. I got plans for your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I thank you for your word today. There's some folks in this room today that came in this room with despair and turmoil and trial and trouble. But God, today their trouble is too little for the lamb. That whipping post was too little for the lamb. The cross was too little for the lamb. And God, that grave was too little for the lamb. The lamb was coming out. Coming out.
We want to thank you again for joining us on the Truth Chapel podcast. May you have a blessed day and walk in the favor of the Lord.